Welcome to Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Listen in as we journey to some of Italy's most beautiful places in the company of those who know them best, the families who grow grapes and make fabulous wines. Through their stories, we'll learn not just about their wines, but also about their ways of life, the local and regional foods and specialities that pair naturally with their wines, and the most beautiful places to visit. We have a wonderful journey of discovery ahead of us, and I hope you will join me.
This episode is proudly sponsored by Vivino, the world's largest online wine marketplace. The Vivino app makes it easy to choose wine. Enjoy expert team support, door-to-door delivery, and honest wine reviews to help you choose the perfect wine for every occasion. Vivino. Download the app on Apple or Android and discover an easier way to choose wine.
Welcome to another episode of Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Today we are in Trentino Alto Adige, also known as Trentino Sud Tirol, and more precisely in the Unterland, the Bassa Atesina, the most southerly part of South Tirol, to meet our guest Dietrich Sierland of the Ansitz Tenuta Seo in Salorn or Salorno in this trilingual region. Good morning, Dietrich. How are you today?
Hey, good morning, Mark. Happy to be here with you. I'm pretty fine. We are actually harvesting today, so it's a great opportunity to skip some hard work and do some nice work.
Oh, good. Well, we're really delighted you can be here. I know it's the busiest moment of the year, but also the most exciting moment of the year. It must be hard and really difficult, but also a very happy time.
Yeah, exactly. It's really satisfying after a whole year of hard and intensive work. You see the result of this work and you get all the fruit, all the grapes you get in the cellar, you get the new aromas, the exciting colors in the cellar from the vineyard. So it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, I bet. Dietrich, can you share with us the story of Ansitz Tenuta Seo, how your winery came about? And I know you have a deep passion for wine. Has this always been what you knew you were going to do?
Yeah, exactly. So just a short recap of the history. So my grandfather already started with winemaking in the 1950s. And then my father came into the wine business as well. And yeah, so he started with his own winery. And 2016, it was my turn to take over the winery. I started completely from the beginning. So I made the brand or the cellar or the name of the winery, Ansitz Tenuta Seo, just to have completely my own business there. So I'm responsible for almost everything. My father is in the background helping me what he wants to do or what he can to do. Then I have my colleague, Michael, who is helping me in the administration and in the marketing. And in the winery, in the vineyard, in the cellar, I can do whatever I want. So I can express myself.
Well, that sounds a wonderful partnership. You and Michael having your different activities, but you being able to oversee work in the vineyard and in the cellar. Dietrich, we are in the Unterland, the Alta Atesina. Can you give our listeners something of a picture of your wine country, the beauty of it, the aspect, the soils, and why it's such a great place to be growing grapes? Is this where you're from? Have you always lived in this area?
Yeah, so I grew up in Südtirol, Alto Adige, all my life. I had my few experiences outside of my region. So I did some internship in Australia, New Zealand, and even here in some wineries, in some bigger wineries, just to get my horizon bigger and see new aspects of winemaking. I had a lot of passion always from the beginning. Since I was a little boy, I grew up in the wine business. I was outside with my dad in the vineyard, in the cellar. So I have like wine in my blood. Yeah, here in Salurn, in the Unterland, in the so-called Bassa Atesina, we have a really particular place. Like we have the Salurner Klause. It's a passage where the mountains are coming together, and we have a really tiny like path through the valley, because usually the Unterland is really wide open. You can see really wide and far from my place. But the place Salurn is, you know, where the mountains come together and the valley gets closer. That's so-called. It's kind of a door, like a gate from the German-speaking part to the Italian-speaking part.
Okay, the Bassa Atesina. Yeah. And so this is the Adige, the Etch, the Adige descending down from the mountains. And in this narrow valley, you're surrounded by mountains.
Yeah, that's really nice. So, I mean, you have here almost everything from the low situated vineyards and apple fields. You can go up to the mountains, and from up there you have a beautiful overview over all the landscape. And it's really, really enjoyable.
It sounds absolutely stunning. And I guess this whole valley then would have been carved out by the glaciers and resulting in a mix of moraine soils and stone. And what is the main feature of the terroir that makes it so good for growing grapes?
Yeah, just imagine like almost 200 years ago, there was the river, the Etsch, and it was not a straight river going down the valley. It was like a curvy one. It went from other side, from one side to the valley to the other side. And a few times a year, there were the flu, and it was like everywhere was water. And then there came from the Kai and Kai monarchy, the princess or the Kaiser, the chief of the Kai and Kai. He decided to stop this madness, and she began to make the edge, the river, straight down to the valley. So there were no more diseases, no more plagues in the valley. And the soil from the edge river went actually on our future fields. So we planted all our fruits, grapes, and apple trees on this very fertility, nutritious soil.
I see. So from the flooding of the river, you've got this rich fluvial soil that's perfect for growing fruit of all sorts.
Exactly correct.
Now, you dedicate yourself to working both in the vineyard and you're the winemaker. They're two very different activities. Which aspect of your work do you enjoy the most?
Yeah, that's a tricky question. But let's say it's nice to work during the year outside in the vineyard. But when it's coming to harvest season, then it's the best part of the year. Like you get all the results of the hard dedicating work outside in the vineyard, and you can make something. Like in the vineyard outside, you are just cultivating, you are watching that everything goes right and the fruits are growing well. But in the cellar, you can express yourself, you can do some experiments, you can do something new, which is not such a hard process like outside in the vineyard. In the vineyard, you have a fixed schema where you can work in, and in the cellar, you are completely free by yourself.
Sure, yeah. And you mentioned that you went abroad to get different experiences in winemaking, different attitudes to and approaches to winemaking. New Zealand, and where else did you say you went?
In Australia.
In Australia.
And a few other wineries here around.
What did you learn from those so-called New World wineries that you brought back to a very ancient and traditional wineland?
Yeah, it just opened my eyes for a completely other style of winemaking. So, for example, in New Zealand, I was in a winery who produced so much wine like my whole region here. It was insane, like 150 workers in the winery, in the cellar, and people from all over the world coming together. And we had a really, really good time together. But also in the aspect of winemaking was really interesting, how they produce the wine, how they keep up the high quality of wine, even they are producing tons and tons of wine.
Wow, that's fascinating. So you grow five grape varieties, Rulander, Pinot Grigio, Chardonnay, Merlot, Cabernet, and Lagrange. Can you tell us a little bit about what qualities your terroir gives to these varietals? Maybe concentrate on Rulander and Lagrange.
Yeah, like Rulander, you said also correctly, it's called Pinot Grigio, but we called it on purpose Rulander because that's the typical name for the region here. And it's mostly associated also with quality wines, while on the other hand, Pinot Grigio, it's can be like a burnt name in the wine industry. Some people may be connected with just quantity wine and not so high quality wine. Our Rulander, it's in the Bunkel, so it's the name of the field. It's called Bunkel. It's a 20 years old Guyot system, so growing on the Guyot system Rulander. And it's the perfect age for making a great quality wine. So the harvest season for the Rulander starts in the beginning of September. Depends on the year, but round about beginning of September. And it's really, really good for the microclimate we have in this area. So we can keep going with the maturity in the vineyard and to pick the fruits at the latest possible period.
You're getting a more riper, more structured style than, as you say, the lighter Pinot Grigios that perhaps are flooding the market and affecting the name of Pinot Grigio.
That's correct. And so we are really glad to have the really ripe Rulander in the winery, where we have it's a really fruity, fresh acid, with a low acid Rulander. And it's also really nice floral bouquet and really nice fruit like honey melon, but also kind of typical local fruits like pear or apple.
And the Lagrange?
Yeah, the Lagrange, it's a really special wine. Like it's almost exclusively for Südtirol. It's a so-called autochthone variety. And for my place in Solun, it's not really typical. So the typical growing places are up to Bozen, the Magdalena area. But Lagrange was always cultivated here in this area. So my father decided to plant Lagrange too and to give our best. And I think we did really, really well with a Lagrange here. So it's not like the heavy, high alcoholic Lagrange from the other regions here in the area. So if you know Lagrange, you see always this dark Ruben red color. And our Lagrange is like not so dark, not so heavy in the color. It's a middle sherry red. It's also from the tannins, they are softly gentle and not so dry on the tongue. So it's a really drinkable fresh red Lagrange.
Oh, that sounds a beautiful style. I love that lighter style of red, still that deep, because Lagrange always has a lot of color, doesn't it? Even if it's yours is lighter.
You should watch my hands. We just harvested yesterday the Lagrange.
Is that right? Yeah.
And they get dark straight away. That's insane.
And then you're also growing some so-called international varieties, but these are grapes that have been grown in Südtirol for a very long time as well.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chardonnay, Merlot, and Cabernet.
Yeah, just imagine Salurm is the fifth biggest community in South Tyrol producing grapes, and the biggest one producing white grapes. So just imagine we have here a lot of Chardonnay, white Burgunder, and the Pinot Grigio. And we have also the Chardonnay in our winery. And there we are doing two types of Chardonnay. One classic, so it's majored in the classic stainless steel tank. And the other one, we have a selection, which is harvested almost 10 days or 2 weeks later than the classical Chardonnay. And there we have a third part we have in the new oak barrel. And the other part stays in the stainless steel tank for almost 10 months.
Right. And then you do the assembly.
Exactly. So that's more the international Chardonnay, like you can compare with maybe California in the US.
Now, let's turn to tasting wine. And you have a particularly welcoming wine cellar attached to the winery, the Dürer Schenk Vinothek, or Enotheca, named after when the painter Albrecht Dürer passed through Salern. Tell us about this.
Yeah, exactly. That's a nice story. So many tourists, they came here to this place and they're asking about the name. How does it come? A famous artist from the Renaissance in Germany, renaming a Vinothek after him. So many doesn't know that in the mid, or a little recap in history, Albrecht Dürer went in the midst of the 16th century from Nuremberg down to Venice. And on his way down to Venice, he stopped in Salern and he was really fascinated by the landscape here. And so many pictures from him are showing the area here. So it's really famous. And so we decided to name the winery or the Vinothek after him. And we have some pictures, not originally from him, but some friends of mine are painters, so they draw a nice portrait from him and also the route he did in Südtirol. And it's a nice point of view while having a good sip of wine.
It sounds perfect, actually. It sounds a very nice way to enjoy your wines as they're meant to be enjoyed, with food, with friends.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really nice place. It's a little bit hidden. It's in the middle of the village. So you have to be clever and smart to find it. But the most beautiful places are always hidden a little bit. And when you come down the stairs, you see a nice garden with a lot of people having a chat, having a full glass of wine, and also the typical Marent. You know, we have our own speck and cheese and bread. And
you actually produce a speck?
Yeah, we do some speck.
Oh, fabulous.
So not in the village, not down in the center. We have a friend of us who is a farmer up in the mountains. And there we are growing our pork. And then when it's time, we are going to harvest the pork.
Okay. Well, speck is very much a very typical flavor of Südtirol. Always smoked, always a smoked cured. What part of the pig does the speck come from?
It's coming from the back. But don't ask me too much, because that's the passion for my dad now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So when he retired from the winery, he had to do something else. So he started making some speck.
That's a very nice partnership if he's looking after that side of things and those foods can be enjoyed in your wine tavern. And you also have some local cheeses.
Yeah, exactly. So we have everything what your heart needs.
Not good. Now, I think for visitors, for listeners to Südtirol, it's such an exciting and different place for many of us to come to because of, you know, this profound Austrian influence with Austria, with the region being part of Austria for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's, of course, had a profound influence on the cuisine of the region. Would you say there are any foods particular to the Unterland that you can describe? And what would you say would be the most typical Südtirolese meal that you would eat? And, you know, what wines of yours would you pair with this?
Yeah, that if you hear Südtirol Alto Adige and you think about food, there's straight in your mind the knödel with goulash.
Knödel with goulash. Those are the dumplings.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a English term for that cuisine, but
I think we would probably say dumpling. I love the knödel, and various types of knödel, correct?
Yeah, exactly. We have the speck knödel, then spinach knödel, cheese knödel. So also for the dessert, we have the prune knödel.
Okay, so a sweet dumpling made with plums. Yeah.
So Yeah, exactly. So we have almost everything. And now in autumn, the maybe most special fruit is the...
What's that?
So-called Türkelen.
Mm-hmm.
Türkelen, it's a typical fruit you get in different Buschenschanks. So that are not restaurants. Those are just open restaurants for a few months in the year. It's mostly run by families. And they are doing their own wine, their own food, and it's really, really good. And there you can eat from the Schlutzkrapfen in the beginning, then you get a huge plate of meat, like sausages, the blood sausages. You get, I don't know if your listeners like giblets or, you know, innards.
Yeah. We like everything on Italian Wine Podcast.
Okay, so I'm curious if someone going to Türkelen and is ordering some giblets.
Actually, the Buschenschank, that's a very interesting tradition. Again, something that comes from the Austrian heritage. It is, it's true still that the branch of fir is put over to say when the Buschenschank are open. It's only permitted for certain months of the year. Is that right?
Exactly. So that's a kind of a law in the Italian system because they don't get the license for a restaurant, but they can get the license for the Buschenschank, and then they are not allowed to open the whole year. So just, I'm not sure now, but I think like 6 or 7 months per year they are allowed to serve drinks and food.
Right. And it has to be their own produced wines and local foods from either they produce or around them.
Exactly. Exactly. You already had once our Türkelen.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, that's just a sort of place I think is really lovely when one finds yourself in an area and it's a time when these places are open that I would be making a beeline to. And I'm sure our listeners would too.
So you're highly experienced.
Well, not as much as I'd like to be. I would love to come back because it is such a beautiful area. And I'd like to come to sample your wines too and meet in person.
You are more than welcome.
It'll be a pleasure. Now, finally, for our listeners, if they find themselves in your area, can you recommend a local restaurant that serves very typical cuisine? And maybe perhaps one also that's doing things a little more creatively?
Let's say we have a high standard of restaurants here. And it's hard to pick one restaurant where you should have to go. But we have a nice little restaurant of high quality food in the Trentina, so the village next to us. It's called Vecchia Sorni. It's a good client of us, and he is producing really typical Trentino Südtirol food. And of course, he serves good wine. And it's a little bit above the Piana Rotaliana, so the valley of the Trentina. And you have a really nice overview. You see the Brenta Mountains. I would recommend to go there.
Oh, wonderful. That sounds a beautiful spot. Well, Dietrich, thank you so much for taking some time away from your harvest. I know you'll be going straight from the microphone to... onto the tractor.
I have to pick up the boxes of grapes.
Good. Well, it's been a real pleasure learning the story of Ansitz Tenuta Seo, and I really enjoyed talking to you. I look forward to meeting, and I particularly want to visit your Durashanka Vinotech to try your wines over a plate of the spec that your father's made. So best of luck for the 2021 harvest, and I hope to meet soon.
Thank you very much, and good day, everyone.
Bye-bye for now. We hope you enjoyed today's episode of Wine, Food, and Travel with me, Mark Millen, on Italian Wine Podcast. Please remember to like, share, and subscribe right here or wherever you get your pods. Likewise, you can visit us at italianwinepodcast.com. Until next time, chin chin.
Hi, guys. guys. I'm Joy Livingston, and I am the producer of the Italian Wine Podcast. Thank you for listening. We are the only wine podcast that has been doing a daily show since the pandemic began. This is a labor of love, and we are committed to bringing you free content every day. Of course, this takes time and effort, not to mention the cost of equipment, production, and editing. We would be grateful for your donations, suggestions, requests, and ideas. For more information on how to get in touch, go to ItalianWinePodcast.com.